Welcome to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. On each and every episode, Brian talks with coaches, athletes, and performers in all arenas who are putting into practice the principles of peak performance that will help you close the gap from where you are to where you want to be, to help you become a master of the mental game, and to help you start dominating the day.
How you doing? Brian Kane, your peak performance coach here with the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. And today we've got a first. We've got a husband-wife combination on the podcast. We've got Lisa Master, who's the assistant athletic director in the Birdville ISD in Texas. And we've got Brian Master, who's a longtime high school baseball coach and associate scout with the Texas Rangers, currently in the process of opening up an indoor baseball softball training facility. And today we're going to talk about kind of a couple things, the mental game and how you can use that as an athletic administrator, how you can use that as a coach, and then also really trying to find that balance between coaching, athletic administration, and raising a family as well. So Lisa, Brian, appreciate you sitting down and making time to be on the podcast here. Fired up for this first husband-wife combination, being newly married myself. I'm excited to learn from you guys. Lisa, let's start with you, if you would. Can you talk a little bit just about, as an athletic director, how do you use the mental game either for yourself or to help train coaches and athletes in Birdville ISD?
Well, right now I am signed up for your Monday messages, and I do forward those out to our coaches every Monday. So I'm hoping that they are trying to implement your small tidbits on Mondays. It's one little small section of what they could be working on, and right now I know it's the breathing that they can implement with their team every day for that week. So I think your Monday messages, keeping it small, sending it out to them, and giving the coaches something to focus on for that week for their team. So currently that's how I'm using your Monday messages with our coaches in our district.
And Brian, as a longtime coach, what are some of the things that you did from a mental game standpoint to help, you know, yourself and your coaches and athletes really lock in on the mental game?
Well, I think, you know, as many coaches find themselves, whether it's baseball or any other sport, I think we all believe in the mental aspect. And I think it's really kind of becoming educated on exactly what that looks like, how to communicate that to your athletes. So for myself, I became immersed in, you know, your peak performance and things that I've been following you for the last 3 years. But for me, it's, you'll have to model it. You have to model it to your kids, because it can't be just a flash in the pan. It's something that, just as though I would, let's say, hit so many ground balls to my infield every day, the mental approach has to be done every day as well. Now, at length of a hitting infield, no. But it needs to be something that the kids, it's a routine. In other words, they know, hey, when we come in the dugout, Coach Master is going to, you know, we're going to have the today's schedule, but at the bottom, whether it be after practice or in between or before, we're going to talk about this. And it's going to be emphasized on how we get better, how we can be in the moment, stay in the moment, be productive in the moment.
You know, Lisa, as an athletic director, what are some of the characteristics that you see of your coaches that you've had that have had the biggest impact on the athletes in their lives, not just on the athletic field or in the arena, but just in the grand scheme of developing young people to be champions? What are some of those characteristics that you see those coaches have, whether it's related to a mental game or relationships? What are some of the things that you see that they have?
Well, I believe for anyone to have the impact, they got to build that relationship with the student athlete. And once they, you know, back to that Stephen Covey saying that they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think it's very vital for the coaches to show that the student athletes, that they care about them, not only about their performance in the athletic field and the athletic arena, but in the classroom and at home. You know, our students struggle with a lot of things with their family life and their home life. And as a coach, you typically spend a lot more time with the athlete than their family does. So you become a mom, a dad, a sounding board for that athlete in dealing with other issues that are really outside of the athletic realm. So building that strong relationship is very important to helping that student athlete in the classroom and with their family, and hopefully building lifelong relationships and lifelong learning skills with that. So building relationships, to me, is the number one thing that you have to do.
Excellent. And in terms of relationships, again, first time we've had a husband-wife combo here on the podcast, which I'm excited about. Brian, let me ask you this. You're married to an athletic director, and athletic directors are some of the
most time crunched, pulled in 1,000 different directions. I lived it for 7 years. I could not have imagined doing that and being married and having been significant because you're on the road so much and you're just grinding in the high school setting. What are some of the keys that you guys have had in your relationship to help make sure that you find that balance or at least that presence when you're not, you're coaching another team and she's an athletic director? How did you guys keep it working in the house too?
Well, first of all, I'm truly blessed to be sitting next to this woman for 22 years. That's number one. You know, she's my best friend. That's truly important. But to answer your question, there's a true understanding between both of us what our true passion is, and it's kids, it's athletics, it's the combination of that. It's making a difference in a young person's life that you can't put a price tag on. And I think because we have the jobs that we do have, it lends itself for the total understanding of, I get it, Lisa, or I get it, Brian. And that's truly important. I've seen a lot of relationships, sadly, when you have a spouse that's a coach in football in the state of Texas, that's a 7-day-a-week deal.
Yeah.
If they happen to have a spouse that maybe, not right or wrong, but weren't maybe part of athletics, don't quite understand that. Not always, but there are times when it becomes an issue because, not that they don't want to understand, but they don't understand.
Yeah.
And so I'm blessed because I've been able to fulfill my dreams, goals. I'm still going every day until my number gets pulled. I'm going every day strong. I'm fulfilling dreams. You know, I'm 45. I'm hopefully just halfway. So I got a lot to look forward to. And that's things that we talk about. You know, she could actually retire in 7 years. That won't happen. And I can tell you, not because I'm saying that. I know what's in her heart and I know what drives her. And it's very similar to what drives me every day. Hmm.
Lisa, what is that that drives you to do what you do? How do you show up and be as excellent as you can as an athletic director and then also in the house? What are some of the things that kind of drive you and motivate you on a daily basis?
Well, I think I was born and raised in a Christian home, and so I had very good role models with mom and dad and my grandparents in work ethic and work to get to where you need to be. And I was fortunate to be the first person in my family to even graduate from college. And I went to college on a sport scholarship and academic, both at Texas Wesleyan. And so that was something that my family wasn't born and raised in college, didn't have the money, the finances, went into different trade businesses. So I knew it's something that I wanted to teach and coach because I wanted to give back like my coaches had given to me. And so I knew in order to get there, I was going to have to get that scholarship. So that was my drive, you know, to become better, get better, study. I would come home from school and I would shut myself in my room and I would study the rest of the night. I had to be very disciplined, and that became at an early age only because I knew where I wanted to go and how to get there, and I was going to have to do some things to get there. So it was a lot of sacrifice on myself and not going to parties or not dating and not going here or there at the high school level, even at the college level. It had to be extreme focus. Mm-hmm. I graduated in 4.5 years. In college, because I knew what I was going to do and went straight through and hit the grind and played volleyball for 4 years. So I think my upbringing, the strong Christian background upbringing, and knowing where I wanted to go and how I wanted to get there, and that I wanted to make a difference in my family to show that, you know, you can be successful and do what you want to do despite, you know, not maybe having the finances or not having the background for the people of that. And now I have 2 degrees. So it was my mindset, and never had mental training, and that's why I'm enjoying it so much now. I wish I would have had it back then. I think I could have been better, obviously, but I just think I had a lot of drive of wanting to be better and wanting to be the best I could be so that I could show the impact that my family had on me in terms of being a good influence and being good role models.
You know, a lot of what we talk about from a sports psychology or standpoint, peak performance standpoint, is that your mindset and your habits on a daily basis make you who you are. And if you have a great mindset, but you don't back it up with the right habits, it's like having a $100,000 sports car in your garage. that has no tires on it. Looks good, got great potential, turn it on, it's going to sound good, but it's just not going to take you anywhere. You have to have those daily habits. So let's talk for a minute, if we can, just about your routines that you keep. What would be the cornerstone, that key piece, or I should say the cornerstone, the keystone, right? The keystone is the stone that holds up the arch, right? What's the keystone, the number one piece of your daily routine that you feel like makes you the success that you are? Brian, what do you think?
I think this, you know, well, it's hard to say one, but I'll try maybe to keep it to two. Number one for me, when I get up and I get going in the morning, I make a personal commitment to myself to live with no regrets. I give everything that I have to whatever situation arises that day. Obviously, we all have a plan for the day, Brian. I don't know anybody that it goes 100% exactly the way we plan it. Mm-hmm. However, understanding that for me, the second thing that I think keeps me on top of my game and where I want to be now and in the future, as much I think sometimes as we say, well, I'm just going to give up or I quit. I personally, I don't know what that looks like. And if you pay me $1 million to do it, it's not intrinsic. It's not within me to quit. Mm-hmm. And so I think those two things and being a good listener. I mean, you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. And I think sometimes we can learn and truly listen to kids without maybe already having an answer ready to go and you're not really listening. I think listening and understanding and the kids understanding that you're focused on them or whether it's a kid or whatever occupation you're doing, that you sincerely care about someone else, you're going to get a buy-in real quick. And most of the time it's substantial and it's a relationship that continues for a long time.
Lisa, what about you? Daily routines or habits that you keep that you feel like have made you successful?
Well, I do try to have a quiet time every day with some type of a devotional. So I think that has been key to my life in general for success. And I think the bottom line, if you ask people about me, they would come to me and say, she's a get things done kind of person. And so when a coach has a question or a coach has an issue that needs to be dealt with, I know they do try to come to me because they know that I'm going to get things done. I'm very task-oriented, very focus-driven, and one of my strengths in Gallup is focus. My number one strength is focus. So for the day, I may have my list of things to do before I get started. Let's start off with a little quiet time to get myself in the right mindset, and then let's go to my tasks. What am I doing today? And, of course, as an AD, you know it's never the same thing. You get that one phone call, and then it throw you off task or throw you in another meeting that you got to go to or whatever. But the coaches knowing that they can come to me at any given time and know that I'm going to get things done because I am focus driven with my job. So the quiet time and being focused, because I've shown that to the coaches, those are things that have made me successful.
Last question here, if we could think about if you could remove the skull cap of our people listening to this podcast, and let's imagine that that person is a coach listening to this. What would be the one seed of success that you would plant inside of their brain that would germinate that you think would help anybody get closer to where they want to be? What would be that one seed?
Well, I think for me, it has to be a true buy-in to whatever you're doing, a true belief in what you're doing. And if you truly have that, regardless of what a million people may think, if in your heart and in your mind, you know, this is what I believe in, this is what I'm going to go get, let's go. If you can have that mindset on a daily basis, the only person that's holding you back sometimes is just yourself. And if you truly believe in what you're doing and you have a plan and you know where you want to go, to me, that would be the answer. There's a belief system that needs to be in place that's consistent, and it doesn't matter what the outside entities think, say. I mean, the biggest motivator for me, the fact that I'm already a motivated person, the worst thing you could do to me personally is tell me I cannot. Because guess what? I'm already motivated, and now you just lit a fire that's already lit, and now it's an inferno. I'm going. I'm going to go get it done. I don't know that that comes overnight. I don't know that comes in a month. But if it's something that's a habit and that you create, it's going to be successful.
Awesome. You said about that one seed for you. If you could remove the skull cap of the people listening and plant that one seed, what would that be?
I think I would ask them to self-reflect. Why are you here? I think sometimes people have the idea that coaches are here. They if they start sensing some burnout and start sensing they're just continuing there to draw their paycheck, I think that's when you got to stop, do some self-reflection. Why am I still here? Am I still here for kids? Am I still here to impact kids' lives? Am I still here to make a difference? Am I still here to make them lifelong learners and teach them life skills? And if I'm not, then I think that's where you have to put the brakes on and kind of see, reevaluate, because I just think you have to keep the kids first and foremost with whatever you do and whatever you decide.
Awesome. And I love that question about why do you do what you do? I think, you know, the self-reflection piece is huge, and a couple key questions that I try to ask myself routinely and ask, challenge coaches really to ask themselves the same question is, number one, why do you do what you do? Number two, where are you right now? Three, where do you want to go? And then four, what's your plan to get there? So when you know why you do what you do, I think motivation is not a problem. You're going to have that fuel. It's like Simon Sinek's book when he says, you know, start with why. Well, because why is the precursor to action, right? When you know why you're doing something, motivation is not a problem. But then ask yourself, well, where am I right now? Self-reflection. Am I living my life to the highest level that I possibly can? Where do I want to go? What does that look like for me to be living at my highest self? And then let's come up with the strategies to close that gap and have the plan to help me get there. You know, the hard part is not necessarily knowing what to do. The hard part is doing it. And as we talk about I think the biggest challenge for people is in life, human beings in nature, is just being consistent at what you do. And I appreciate you guys taking time out of the hectic schedule to sit down and chat today. And if anybody wanted to follow up and have you come and speak at one of their coaches' clinics or ask questions just about, you know, I know a lot of coaches, I get this question probably more than anything, and is just the balance in relationships. And I think it's been awesome that you get the husband-wife combination to join us today. And if people wanted to reach out to you guys for advice on anything, do you have a Twitter account or an email address where people might be able to reach out to you?
Sure. My email address is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, the letter B as in boy, master, M-A-S-T-E-R, @AOL.com. Obviously, like everybody else, I've got caught up on technology, so it syncs right to my phone.
Yeah.
So I'll get back to you real quick. And, you know, it was a learning process for me. But once you understand it, it's such a thing that drives you and makes one become not just a better coach, but a better person in general. So anybody out there that there's no such thing as a silly question, ask it, and I at least give you my take or my opinion on what I've learned from kind of following you the last 3 or 4 years.
Awesome. At least anyway, for people to get a hold of you if they want to learn more or pick your brain on some different athletic administration stuff, because I know you're doing a ton of great things.
Absolutely. And my name is spelled a little different. It's L-E-S-A dot master, M-A-S-T-E-R, @yahoo.com.
Awesome. So we've got Brian B. Master at AOL.com and Lisa L-E-S-A dot master @yahoo.com. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for listening, and make sure that you all dominate the day.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. Please make sure that you visit briankane.com. That's B-R-I-A-N-C-A-I-N.com. And sign up for my Monday message, where every Monday I deliver straight to your inbox videos, interviews, articles, tips, techniques, and strategies that you can use to master the mental game. You can also contact me through my website on our Contact Us page and see my calendar of where I'm going to be in the country and when I'm coming to your area, so that we can get together and that we can continue to go out there and dominate the day.
The Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast is part of the Top Coach Network. This is a production of Corn Belt Sports.